On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the puppy blues. So what are the puppy blues? What causes the puppy blues? And just some general things on how to get through it and how you can get past that stage so you can have a wonderful life with your pet, with your dog. So
welcome to The Woofy Show, the ultimate dog lover's digest. Meet your hosts, Ryan and Magda, two dog lovers ready to help you be the best dog parent, unravel the mysteries of canine behavior, and keep you updated on the latest trends in the dog world. This podcast has something for everyone. Get ready for heartwarming stories, expert advice, and a lot of laughs.
Magda, if you want to start us off with, what are the puppy blues?
Puppy blues are a real thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think they are, but it's just general feeling of overwhelm and anxiety and guilt and sometimes even regret of getting a dog in the first place.
Yeah, a puppy, to be more exact.
Yes, a puppy. It normally happens to the first-time dog owners.
Yes.
I feel like the general reason of why it happens is because people have a certain expectation in their mind of what owning a dog will be like.
Yeah.
And they have this image in their head that it's going to be like picture perfect and this dog's going to love being hugged and all
no,
of that.
No, that's true. That's what a lot of people, they expect. It's like puppies are cute. They're like little teddy bears and you want to hug them and cuddle them. But puppies don't like that. They're new. They're in a new environment. They want to just explore. They want to sniff things out. Bite things to, you know, to see what it's like. And people don't know that. And I guess just a quick statistic, but I think it's 70% of new dog owners go through the puppy blues. So it's a lot more common than you think it is. So you're not alone. Don't feel like, oh, did I make a terrible choice? Most people go through this, ourselves including, to be honest. So
I'm not sure why people don't really talk about it. I think maybe it's because there's a certain stigma and there's a certain shame behind feeling the way that we are feeling about our new dog.
I don't think people openly talk about regretting having children. I think that's probably pretty not allowed. So maybe people have that feeling when it comes to dogs where it's like, it's okay. It happens, you know,
Because you suddenly just feel trapped. You feel like your life is not what it used to be because now you have this dog and you know, that there's certain changes that you have to implement into your life in order to accommodate this new life that you bring into your house. And it can be a massive reality check. And
I think we talked about it potentially in the puppy proofing your home, but I don't know if we did or not, but it was more about this puppy, this dog is 100% reliant on you. That's it. And I think people forget that. They think they can, especially as a puppy, they can play with them for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and it's like, okay, I have work to do. You just go and do your own thing. And that's just not reality.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's just not.
You're going to have to be watching that dog all the time. It requires a lot more effort. Yeah.
But short-term effort. Yeah. Short-term effort.
Yeah.
So what are some of the causes, I guess, some of the main causes that cause puppy blues in people? Like, what is it that puppies and young dogs do in general that make people regret?
So as we kind of already mentioned, puppies are not, they don't sleep all the time, even though we want them to. And they're just walking little piranhas, wriggly little butts, you know, they want to be out there exploring the world. They don't like to be held usually. Some of the things that can cause you to lose your mind is, for instance, if you are struggling with potty training your dog.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that
that's
people struggle
the
all
main
the time.
One. I think that's the biggest one because that's the only one that kind of causes lack of sleep, which is huge. And I imagine a baby's the same. I don't know from experience, but.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to. Well, yeah, it happens.
I assume so, I guess babies cry a lot.
Parents have to wake up at God knows what hours in the night to feed that kid.
Or, whatever.
The baby, right? Yeah. I think that's why mothers are always so tired. Yeah. But it's exactly the same with the dog. Yeah. People don't realize that it is normal for a puppy to wake up in the middle of the night to, you know, need to be let out.
Yeah, because they can only go. There's a rule. I think it's how many months they are plus one, and that's how many hours they can go without going to the bath. So if you get your puppy at 8 weeks, you know, 2 months, add one. So every 3 hours, you technically have to take 24 hours a day.
Not more. Yeah.
Depending on if they were just, you know, overnight, maybe it's every, you know, not quite as often, but it's crazy. And a lot of people just want to throw their dog in a crate or in their little playpen in another room.
Even worse, they just leave their dog roaming the house when they're eight weeks old, and they expect this dog not to pee or poo in a house. It's like you need to set your expectations and have this reality check that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and so it involves letting your dog out a lot and going out with the dog, not just like opening the door and hoping for the best, because you don't know if they're actually going to the bathroom.
Yeah, they could be out there having a party, you know, sniffing, eating grass, eating rocks, eating anything because it's a puppy.
And I mean, we went through that in the sense of I slept on the couch for like a week.
Yeah.
Because we had Maple in like the living room kind of thing. And
I think what happened is we actually started with her being in the crate in our bedroom.
No, we did not.
Did we not do that?
No, because we had her, because she was having accidents. So it was on the floor. Because we didn't want her having accidents. It wasn't quite there. It was after like a couple of weeks.
Right.
But I remember I just slept on the couch. So then I can hear her a lot quicker and then get up, let her out. I remember I was like, okay, you know what? We've had her for 6 days now. I mean, I thought it was going better than it was. And it was like, she had a crate in a playpen. So she kind of had both. So I was like, I'm going to leave the crate open and she can just be in like the little playpen area as well. She wants to sleep in the crate. Cool. And she had like the worst diarrhea ever that night. I remember I woke up and it was all over. We had one little pee mat or whatever pad. Yeah. That thing was covered. Beside it was covered. And just because she just inside the crate was covered. And it's because we changed her diet, like, you know, after getting her. And I was like, this is not as fast as you think it is. Like, I thought, oh, it's been a week. I don't think it was a week, but it's like she should be learning now. Months. It's months.
But what happens is that You are taking that dog away from what's familiar.
Yeah.
Like the dog doesn't know you. They don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. They're in this strange house. They're on a strange diet suddenly because it's not going to be exactly the same as what the breeder has fed them.
Yeah.
So everything's just really strange and new, and we expect that dog to behave.
Yeah. You might expect an accident here or there. Do you remember when we had the carpet rolled up? Because we're like, let's move the carpet instead of having it. Because it was one of those like really thick, like shaggy carpets. And we're like, let's just roll it up. And she like had a poo on top of the rolled carpet. Remember? Yeah. It was so funny. Yeah. At least like it was on the out, like the bottom of it. So it was easy to clean. But they don't know any better.
Shit.
And I mean, I guess that goes into the next point too. That's on top of that. But it's a messy house. There's people that are
I still have a problem with that.
We were like that. It's like, it's clean, clean, clean. And it's just not a reality, especially during the puppy months. Your house is going to be messy. They're going to have accidents. Try to keep them away from carpet. If you're carpeted everywhere, then buy a nice, really like good carpet cleaner that gets rid of odor. I don't know. But it's going to be messy. They're going to throw up on it. They're going to poo on it. They're going to pee on all over the floor. They're going to eat their food depending on what it is. It'll make a mess.
Imagine if you had a toddler without a diaper on, right?
God. I guess so.
It's just what it is.
It's disgusting. But yeah, it's, I don't know why that's disgusting. And a dog doing it isn't, but I guess because we have a dog. But yeah, and I think that's a thing that people will get stressed and just like, oh my God, I just cleaned.
You're going to have to clean again. Yeah. Like it is a reality for everybody. Everyone goes through that.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. And people feel bad and think that they're doing something wrong or that they're not raising this puppy right because this is what's happening and it keeps happening weeks after, right?
But
they've gotten
months.
That dog, but it takes a while. Yeah, and that's just what it is.
Yeah.
Like that's what you sign up to when you decide to get a puppy.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah. No, for sure. Mess is annoying, but it's just something you do.
I mean, I still struggle with the mess.
Well,
like,
it's more
even
of the
now.
Shedding than anything, not like the accident. We were talking about potty training, so that was more of the mess. Puppies don't shed.
No, I know, but like you have to realize that once you get a dog, your house will never look the same as previous to that.
Yeah. It might that one night you clean and the dog's asleep, but then the next morning, no. back to how it was. Be like, didn't I clean?
Yeah, put Maple in a kennel, right? In the crate whilst I'm vacuuming, washing the floors, putting all the toys away, let her out. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Toys are out.
Yeah. Hair everywhere. Well, it's shedding season now. But yeah. Yeah. So what's another kind of cause that people get from puppy blues? Or, yeah, cause of puppy blues where they feel.
What causes puppy blues? One of the other reasons is, for instance, puppies biting and nipping at everything.
Yeah. Teething.
Teething,
well.
Yeah. Or not teething, just exploring with their mouths.
Which is what they do.
Yes, which is absolutely normal. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able to accept it and kind of train it out of them.
Yeah, well, human babies do the same thing. They tee, they cry because it's painful.
Yeah. Dogs it's honestly like talking about a toddler. Like it's so kind of the same.
Yeah.
Dogs
just condensed.
Also,
condensed. Everything happens faster.
Yeah, exactly.
But like all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big one. And a lot of people, it is. It's like when you play with them and they bite your fingers or they bite and rip on your clothes. And it's not that they are being destructive. It's because their gums are hurting. Their teeth are hurting. They need to bite on something to like relieve pressure sometimes. Mm. Or they're like, hey, what's this? And that's what they do with their like litter mates. They'll like bite them and then
and
one of them will like
other, that's
make
how
a
they
noise
play
if it's
as
too
well.
Loud.
Yeah.
And things like that. And that's just normal. But some people find it hard. I mean, Maple, luckily she's a retriever, so they naturally have like more softer mouths, but it was still like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes she'd get
And for some reason, puppy teeth are like a lot sharper than standard
Someone
teeth.
Said they're like needle point because they're so small and thin, so they can like puncture very easily. And even like I remember I got bit in the chin once because we were playing and I was bleeding and it was like fine. Like I don't get angry, but it was like, oh, well, that was my fault.
Yeah.
Whoops. Got
or like,
too excited.
You know, or I would like bring, because we used to take like videos of Maple of, you know, to highlight the stages of her growth.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, yes,
and
yes,
I
yes.
had to have her with me like and hold her and she would just wiggle around and like
try
bite
to get
me
your
in the face.
Yeah, I remember that. There's another one video where you're like,
do you know what? Yeah. It's not her fault. Like it's completely me and she's just
that's
not
what they
aware
do.
Of what she's doing. And yeah, we just have to accept it.
Yeah, like, I mean, don't sit there and leave your hand out and let them chew on it the whole time. But it's like, it's just what they're going to do and it will hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess toddlers don't go and bite you as a human being, but dogs do because toddlers have hands.
Maybe they do. Well, maybe, I don't know.
But it's the same thing with like feet and ankles and.
Yeah.
And or they'll grab onto your sleeve of your sweater and poke holes in it. And that's just don't wear nice clothes. If you have a puppy, don't have anything nice out. I think that was like the puppy proving. Don't have nice things out.
Yeah.
Don't have nice clothes on. Just wear the same pants
Hide
every single
everything.
Day.
Everything. You have a walking piranha in your house.
Exactly. A land shark. I think that's what they call it.
A land shark. Yeah.
That's what they call it. So yeah, that one's like kind of just, you know, not too much involved. That one, they'll just get over. Can't really train them growing their teeth out of them like you can with potty training. It's just like that's just a phase they're going through.
It's a phase. Like that's the thing, like puppy blues and puppy time is just a phase that they go through. They might relapse later on in life,
and you know what, you'll miss it. You will. Your dog, and you won't miss like all of these really bad things, but you'll like look at pictures of your dog as a little puppy and you're like, oh my god, she was so cute. He was so cute. Oh, and then you remember.
I think there's a reason why puppies look so cute, because otherwise they wouldn't survive.
That's true.
If they weren't this cute, like no one would want them.
That's a very valid point. Yeah.
They would be like, no, I cannot deal with this. You are going back to wherever you came from. But just because they're so cute and small and harmless to some extent, like it's a lot more tolerable to just get on with it. Yeah. Right.
So on the topic of like the nipping and all of that, another kind of puppy blue cause of the puppy blues is more them like chewing on things. So it's kind of like getting a bit past the teething phase, but they still exploring with their mouths and they're chewing everything from shoes to furniture to
walls.
And that's just, unfortunately, that can be trained. Not unfortunately. Fortunately, that can be trained out of them. That's them, again, exploring with their mouths. That's them. Like kind of whether they're being bored, whether they want attention, whether they just like the feeling. And that is, I guess when they are teething, they do like the feeling of biting onto something. And that's where training kind of comes in hand to redirect that or get them to and not having things lying around. Hey, you don't want your dog to chew your shoes, your Crocs that you just bought? They're nice rubber squishy feeling. Don't have them lying out, just like we said in the puppy proofing your home. But that is something that you will go to work. You will leave your dog out if you're not a smart person and you'll come home and things will be destroyed.
Yeah.
And that's your own fault.
Yeah. But that's the thing. If you can't supervise your dog at all times when they're out of their confined area, then you're going to really struggle because this is just what's going to happen. They are going to eat things and it's dangerous because they could ingest things that are small lying around and your dog could choke on it. Yeah. They could have upset stomach. Yeah. Like,
no, it's true. And so that's just something that you need to realize that they will bite on things, they'll bite on the cords and random stuff. And
you don't have to be upset. Them.
Like, don't get angry at them. Like, you will get frustrated. And that's one of the kind of puppy things is like, I'm frustrated and I'm stressed. And that you'll get frustrated. Yeah. You'll get stressed. But again, well, it is just a phase if you work on that. I mean, I guess puppies will chew things forever if you never stop them. Mm. If they think it's okay, they'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know? If it's there all the time, they'll keep doing it. Toilet paper was a big one, actually. Where with Maple, she was like going for those toilet paper rolls. So we had to like put them up high.
So much fun to play with toilet paper.
So that was something that like, although it's not destroying things, but it's just leaving a mess. And it's like, and it was our fault. Like, remember we left one lying out and she would take it to like the bedroom. I remember she would take it to her bedroom and there would just be like, and she knew, and you were just like, Maple, you know, and she knew, and you don't like punish her or discipline her. That's her own fault for having it lying around.
But it's so funny because I remember us just like feeling like, what the hell do we do? How do we like get rid of this problem? Like, she can't just be searching for toilet paper every time, right? So we just started closing the bathroom door, you know?
And then we trained her. I remember I had a roll of toilet paper in my hand and I had a treat in another hand. And if she would go to the toilet paper, I'd just be like, no, pull it away, go to the treat. Yes, she gets it. And that was just, that helped with us. And now she doesn't look at it because she looks at it and be like, that's no fun. I don't get rewarded. Yeah. But if I don't touch the toilet paper, I get a treat. And then again, it's training. But yeah, that was a big one. And I remember we went through quite a few rolls of toilet paper. Where did we leave them for her to get them?
I don't know.
Because I think she took it out of like the package. Like we had the package of toilet paper sitting on the floor.
I think it was like sitting on the floor in a closet. And then we left the closet open by accident. And she somehow decided to steal a roll.
And it's cute. It's, you know what?
I mean, it wasn't cute at the time. We were actually like pretty annoyed because it was such a mess.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, picking up a little piece of toilet paper. It's not fun. But yeah.
But now you look at it fondly. Yeah. Like, you know, I kind of miss it. Yeah. Like it. You know, the little terror.
So that's a big thing. And that's something that a lot of people struggle with. And I see a lot of those questions in Facebook groups. Oh, my dog is chewing on everything. It's like, well, don't let them out of your sight. Don't allow it and don't have these objects available for the dog to chew and pay attention.
Mm.
If something's lying out, if you can't hide your shoes,
it's like, I'm sorry, but your life is going to change. Yeah. You're going to have to adjust your environment to that dog to make it bearable for both of you so that you don't lose things that you spend so much money on. And then you're going to get angry at your dog for no reason other than your own negligence.
Yeah. They don't know better. Especially as puppies. So it's just something that they do deal with it.
Yeah. That was like a big realization.
Yeah. And I mean, we were first time. We were part of the 70% for sure.
Oh yeah.
So it's something that we didn't know. The next one we didn't really go through, but it was like barking and excessive barking.
Yes.
We didn't really, she didn't bark for like 6 months.
I didn't even think she knew how.
She could. Now she's starting to. So we have a delay.
I feel like she learned that behavior from like doggy daycare and things. Maybe. I don't know.
That's true. But that's a big one. Again, we don't have personal experience with that, but a lot of people have the barking and the noise. And I see this in Facebook groups, people that live in like townhouses or condos or apartments, and they go out.
That's crazy because they can't get evicted. And it's like how, you know, and it can get overwhelming and frustrating because you have your landlord on your case, right? Being like, you need to control your dog. You have your neighbors on your case. And it's like, I understand where that frustration can come from. But unfortunately, the only thing you can do is train that behavior out of them, right? If you don't know how to train it out of them, seek help.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, everything, I think all of our episodes have to do with training. Mm. Everything goes down to being proactive as a dog parent and training and working.
Yeah.
Whether directly with your dog or working with a trainer that's working with your dog. But it's just something that they do it, and they do it for tons of reasons. They do it because they're excited. They do it because they're bored. They do it because they want something. They're scared. They attention. Like, there's so many different reasons. Yeah. And if you keep letting them do it, they'll keep doing it. It's that simple. So it goes back to training that and learning, like, why are they barking and then dealing with it. But especially as a puppy, they don't know any better.
Yeah, they just, you know, that's how they
communicate.
They can't talk.
That's how they communicate. When I know Maple, like, alert barks now, and it's her letting us know, hey, there's someone approaching our house from outside. That's just what she does. And it's sometimes annoying, but it's just like, that's what else are they supposed to do? Come up and tap at you, paw at your leg, and be like, hey.
Yeah. It is annoying. And we are obviously working on it as much as we can all the time. It's not as annoying to the point where I'm like so frustrated and angry, and I'm like, you know, I don't know what to do with you anymore.
Yeah, but it's more alert bark. She doesn't attention bark. And I think there are some dogs, especially like terriers and stuff, they do a lot more attention barking. And if someone's not used to that noise, especially if you've even never had a baby which cries all the time.
When you've never had a dog before.
Or like a dog, or you had a dog as a kid or growing up, but they didn't bark. And that's the thing, is people kind of look at this new dog they got to the dog they had as a kid that their parents had. But you cannot compare the two at all. So
it's funny how you talk about like the comparison now, because I remember like I had a major puppy blue feeling when we did a puppy class and we had to take our dogs out for a walk downtown. And I was seeing all these dogs walking nicely in downtown, and we were really struggling.
Oh yeah, Maple was a maniac.
Yeah, she pulling she didn't understand what we were doing. She was
loose leash walking. We were doing loose leash walking training, but in
she
a distracting
was all
environment.
Over the place. Like, honestly, she was spinning around, and I'm like, oh my God, that was hot.
Yeah. I remember you were frustrating, and then it's like embarrassing because you have these other dogs.
And I was embarrassed, and I was comparing myself to these other dogs. And in my mind now, thinking about it, I'm like, well, but we've never been downtown with her.
And
we've never exposed her to it.
It's the first time she's seen
that. We live in suburbs where, you know, not much is happening around here. And we just thrown her into this environment, which is way too overstimulating. Yeah. And I wanted her to act the same way as those other dogs who
might have lived in that
area. In that area.
Possibly, yeah.
And I'm like, that was unreasonable.
That's
like,
so true. I forgot about that.
I should have not been embarrassed. Yeah. I should have had a little bit more compassion towards her and me at the same time.
Well, and every dog learns at their own pace. Some dogs can learn. But that's the thing. She was learning, like, she was really good with drop it and leave it.
Yeah.
Like, way better than all the other dogs. But, I mean, we practiced that earlier.
Exactly.
But we couldn't practice walking, loose leash walking downtown when she's 12 weeks old as well. Like, loose leash walking takes a very long time, to be honest. So,
but like, she was one of the worst dogs that was
walking. For the walking. I remember that.
And we were right behind, like, basically dragging her.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what have we done?
Yeah.
Is this reality? Is this what my life's going to be like? Are we not going to be able to take her out for walks because this is how she's behaving? And it's like, it's realizing that things take time.
Yes.
And we just have to keep doing it and keep messing up all the time in order to learn, because that's the most annoying thing. Like when people take the dogs out, when they're puppies and, you know, they're all over the place, they don't know how to walk and they just quit. They don't take the dogs out for walks anymore. Yes,
because that 1, 2, 3, 5 experiences were bad and they think, well, they're never going to learn.
Because you get frustrated, you get annoyed and you feel like it's not going anywhere. But if you don't practice walking them, then they're just never going to learn. And then you're going to have a full-grown dog that's 3 years old and they still don't know how to walk properly.
Yeah. So now looking
back. Now that's embarrassing.
Yeah. So looking back at how Maple was, we're going to do an example now. How she walks more recently, like we dog sit and dog board a little bit and you take some of the dogs you have out. And Maple is like an angel compared to these dogs that are 3 or 4 and they're nightmares to walk. So it's funny that like you look back at when she was 12 weeks old and she in a puppy class and she was the problem. She was embarrassing. And now you're like, she's perfectly fine. But this dog we're watching is embarrassing and a nightmare and is just all over the place. So it's funny that like, that kind of shows if you continue, because we worked on it every day, pretty much. When it was like extremely cold out.
Yeah. And then you ask these owners like, oh, do you like take your dog out for these walks? And it's like, yeah, I do. But you know, this is just what she does. She just melts down on the floor and starts sniffing every single inch of the ground. Yeah. And, you know, and they talk about it as if it's normal because it is for them now, right? It's something that they decided it's not a problem for them.
Yeah.
And they don't take that dog out for many walks because of that issue that she just cannot focus on walking. And you know what? That's okay for them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't okay for me, which is why I worked on it and which is why we are where we are now. So that's the thing, is like identifying these issues that are causing you to have puppy blues.
Well, yeah. So that's the takeaway of this whole story of
you
will go through hard times. But those are just short times. But if you don't work on it, you're going to always go through hard times. And that's what people do. It's not just like, it's going through these puppy blues, which can last like 3, 6, like I think it's like 3 to 9 months or something like that until they're almost a year old. And then they hit teenage years, which is a whole another nightmare story. But it's like, you can't just like put up with it and be like, okay, well, I know this is only going to last 3 months. And then like the teething will stop, the chewing, but no, because if you don't actively participate and be proactive and like training your dog, it won't stop. Yeah. Those puppy blues will become adult blues. I don't know if that's a term, but it is officially now. And they won't stop.
No, you might actually give up on your dog at that time because you'll be just so frustrated. Your whole house will be ruined. Mm-hmm. You know,
this is when people
decide it's those teenage years. Yeah. Like once the puppy years have gone and you've gone so long with dealing with puppy behavior, and then you don't proactively work on fixing them, that's when people go, oh, I think I made a mistake. Yeah. I have to give this dog back.
Yeah.
And it happens during teenage years, right? When they go into that stage after
puppy. There's that meme, and it's done with a bunch of different dog breeds, but it shows like a puppy of a thing. It says like 0 to 12 months. It's just a cute little puppy. And then 12 months to like 36 months, it shows like a velociraptor dinosaur. And then from like 3+ years, it shows like the adult version dog. But that's literally what it is. It's so true. It's like you have a little psychopath dinosaur or a land shark or whatever, you know, you want to call it. And then that's just something you have to deal with. Cause it's like puppy life is hard because you aren't sleeping. There's so much supervision. By the time they hit 1 and stuff, like 1.5, not as much supervision, but they are still a nightmare.
That's when they enter, I'm going to test your boundaries. Yeah.
And so that's what everyone says. It's like, you're going to work hard for 2 years, but once your dog hits like that 2 to 3 years old and you put in that effort, you will have the most perfect dream dog. The dog that you thought you were going to get when you wanted a puppy in the first place. Yeah. You're not getting that dog at 6 months old.
No.
You're getting that dog at 2 to 3 years old, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to wait that long, then don't get a dog. Please don't. The rescues are full. Don't return them. But yeah, so I guess the next kind of cause of puppy blues.
Oh yeah, we're still going through that.
I know. We got a bit.
One of the things also that can cause a puppy blue for you is the fact that your dog will guard their resources.
Yeah, like resource guarding.
So some people might not know what resource guarding is. So what that is when you give your dog food or a toy or a stick or anything that is valuable in their mind.
It works for people too.
Yeah, people too.
Like you as a single dog owner and you get a new boyfriend, girlfriend.
And they, if you take that thing away from them, they will snap.
Or you can't take it away from them because they'll start growling at you.
Growling, snapping, or even biting. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very common thing. It's scary.
Yeah.
If you have never dealt with that before and it's your first dog and you know, it happens, it's really scary.
Do you remember? We practiced that with Maple. I remember that. It was down here. We were practicing getting her to like leave it and being able to like take things away from her, not like rip things out of her mouth or anything like that. And it was like a bully stick or whatever. And I wore, I went and put on like a winter glove because I was like terrified to put my hand near her face. Cause, and it might, she would have just done a little thing, but I didn't want that. And I didn't want to like get hurt.
Yeah.
And we worked on it. We taught her to like leave it. We taught her to drop it. That like kind
that
of stuff.
Was one of the most important, I think, commands that we introduced fairly early on. Like I remember in puppy classes, she already had it nailed because we were practicing.
We started that really early. Do you remember that post on Facebook? That 6 month old dog? You think we both saw that? And they were talking about, I can't get things. And someone's like, did you teach your dog a leave it command? And
what
would she say? Like,
oh
why?
My gosh.
He's only 6 months. Should I teach that? Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah, so what you are talking about is this Facebook post, which I came across recently, and it was about a woman who had a Cavapoo, and this Cavapoo was 6 months old, and she only just realized, I'm like, oh my God, 6 months, and you've only just realized this is the problem.
Unless you got the dog a week ago, but
That this dog will growl and snap at her when she's trying to take away things from their mouth, which is totally normal, by the way. Like that behavior
dogs put things in their mouth all the time too.
It's completely natural for a dog to do. It's something you need to train. So the comment underneath was, you know, have you taught that dog how to leave it? And she just replied to it being like, do I have to?
Yeah. Is that something I need? My dog's like, only 6 months. Like what? You got to wait a year?
Yeah. It's like, do you want to wait until that dog's completely ruined? Like,
But like, that's what they do. It's part of their instincts too, of like their food, it's toy. This is mine. I don't want to share, you know.
And it's important too. So training once again, because your dog will go into adulthood thinking this is okay and they will bite someone.
Especially if you have kids that come and want to approach a dog while they're eating
your
a bone
dog
or whatever.
If bites someone, they can be put down.
Yeah. And so, and it, that takes a lot of work too, like I said, and it was not an easy thing to train. Like I literally wore a big winter glove just to be careful. And then we taught it a different way. We got her to like leave it and come away from the thing.
Yeah.
So instead of going to her and trying to grab it from her. And then once she was far enough away, get her to like sit, stay, and then
and then
go
reward
and pick it
her
up.
With
and then
thing.
Go and take, because we do that with the bone.
Yeah,
like when she gets like the like actual like meat bones, because she'll chew that thing for 24 hours straight. To be honest, stop. So that's what we have
but
to do.
Like, if you are a new dog parent and you are not aware of this, you need to know that your dog will not be happy if you take away something from their mouth and don't exchange it for something else.
Yeah. At least to start with,
yeah.
Until they get older and they understand. But it's just, and again, right back to it all. You have to work through all of these puppy blue problems. You can't just sit there and be like, they're only going to last 3 months. This is only going to last 6 months. It's like their potty training won't just randomly know to go outside. You have to work on it every day.
But I can also relate this to kids too. Like imagine if you have a toddler and they're playing with their favorite toy and suddenly you take it away from them.
Yeah, they'll start crying.
Yeah, they're going to have a meltdown.
Oh, yeah. That's so true.
It's the same thing. They're not going to bite you, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
That's true.
But it's
the
same.
It's not even toddlers. It's teenagers. You see all the things like parents take the video games away and then you have a freaking meltdown tantrum. And it's just, that's a valid. Nobody likes something they're enjoying being taken away from them.
Yeah.
Whether it's a puppy, an adult dog, a toddler, a teenager, an adult human being. Nobody wants that. Do you know what I mean? So work on it. work on doing it the right way.
Yeah. You know? So these, I guess, are the most common causes that make people feel like they're, you know, struggling, they're overwhelmed. And also, one other thing that can cause puppy blues is that sudden realization that you no longer have the independence.
Yes.
That you used to have.
Yes.
That can cause you to feel like.
Well, yeah, you can't.
All sorts of feelings.
Just go out of nowhere anymore. Yeah. I mean, unless you have someone else that's home. Mm. We're talking about you as an individual and one dog. Or even as a couple or a family, you can't just like leave your dog all day. Eventually, you can probably leave them. Like we did talk about that before, like up to, you know, 6 to 8 hours. But yeah, it's knowing that. Well, I'm out, but I need to get back to feed my dog. Like, okay, fine. You feed them an hour late is okay. But if you, you know, they probably won't die, of course, but it's that, but you get that feeling of like, I can't be out anymore because my dog needs to have dinner. And now I'm like sad that I have to go home.
Or even guilty. Yeah, like guilty, feeling yeah, that's guilty the word I wanted to use. That you are out enjoying yourself and your dog is stuck at home. Probably missing you because the pack animals, they always miss you. It's just what they do.
But then it's not going out like, and people still have their jobs. I know when with Maple and us, we were home for the most part. I was gone after the first like 2 weeks. I was gone maybe two days a week, 3 days a week nights, and you were gone 1 day a week. And and although that was all we were gone, it was still hard. It was still like, you know what I mean? It still didn't feel like, and I was gone just to go to work. Not gone for fun. We didn't have social lives for like the first year. Training classes was literally our social life.
Yeah.
To be honest. And you're right. It's people need to understand, just like having a baby, I imagine, you don't just go back to work. Well, that's what people do. They do just go back to work and they come home and their dog destroyed everything. But it's understanding that you can't go on those long vacations, holidays on a flight anymore.
Yeah.
Without putting your dog in boarding or something like that. And yeah, people think, oh, puppies are cute. They're not much work. I just got to make sure they get fed. My kids will play with them a little bit and that's fine. Like, no, if that's what you think having a dog is, probably don't get one.
Yeah.
Or maybe certain breeds. We were talking about the breed group. So maybe some of them equal that. But yeah, you're right on that point. I guess the whole point of this kind of episode and this talk is just like understanding that you will go through these. You have to. Your expectations of what you think it will be like are not going to be the reality. You will feel anxious. You will feel stressed. You will regret. You'll want to return the dog. But it's about just, you know, working through that and finding help. Finding family members that can help you. Finding friends that can help you. Whether it's a family member that come and watches the dog for a few hours so you can go out guilt-free knowing your dog is home. It's about, you know, if you can afford it, paying for dog walkers, paying for doggy daycare. So then you have that guilt-free life still.
Yeah.
And it's joining communities. I think that was a big one that we did. It's like finding communities that, especially if you have a specific breed as well, we're in a few Toller Facebook groups because people know exactly what those dogs are like. Like Toller's in there screaming. You know, we never heard it until we started hearing it. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I have some questions and they know answers to, cause they've also gone through the same thing. So it's finding people that
also dealt with the same or similar situations as you have with the same breed, especially because not all breeds are the same and act the same. Right. But it's also, I think with puppy blues, people will ask you probably like, how long does it last? Like, when is the end of it? And I think it's about focusing on the positive and focusing on being on the progress that you make in. Like, I know I had my puppy blues and I was getting frustrated and anxious and guilty. And there were times when I was genuinely regretting my decision. Yeah. I was like, you know, this is the dog that I wanted for such a long time. Yeah. And it, like, why is this so hard? Yeah. Right? But.
Because you don't see that. That's a problem. Yeah. You don't see that on, you know, the internet. You don't see that on social media sites. But you see like the odd training thing, but you see them behaving. You see like, here's how to train your dog to do these things. You don't see what they did before that which is why they needed that training. And that's the problem. People don't, even as the puppy we went through, it's like we never saw anything on the internet about them having explosive diarrhea all over the house. People don't share that. That's gross. Like, I did not think that was going to be a thing. Like, yeah. I remember that. I was like, oh my God. Like, this is disgusting.
I didn't think that changing a dog's diet can have such a massive effect on their stomach.
And as a new dog owner, you don't read, you'll learn this over time, but you're not going to read every textbook and watch 100 hours of YouTube videos before you get a dog. You'll do a little bit of research, but not that degree. So,
but yes, so I had those feelings and like, I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah.
I think it's normal to go through that. But the thing is, like, I'm not a quitter either.
Yes,
so
not.
It's just like, it's kind of taking that on a chin and looking for solutions rather than dwelling too long on the negative and just trying to find answers and, you know, just putting that effort into training. That's probably the best way. It's realizing that you are doing the best that you can.
Yeah.
It will take time. It is hard. And let's not dwell too much on the negative side. Yeah. Let's focus on actually improving and the progress that we make.
Yeah, dogs aren't being jerks on purpose.
Yeah.
They're not. They're not like teenagers that are rebelling on purpose.
And it's such a great feeling. Like once you start noticing these like small little changes and small little progress, it's like, yes.
Like, but then you look back just like now, we look back at Maple being a puppy and we remember all like the fun, cute things. Yeah. The whole toilet paper thing. But you look back at it and think it's like, oh yeah, that was so silly. Like we're looking at it in like more of a positive outlook than like, oh, that was such a horrible time to go through.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that was kind of, and so you'll remember like the fun things you did with your puppy, the milestones you did, the first time you gave them like the first time we gave Maple an apple. I literally remember that. She was like so excited. And I mean, we have it recorded, but I don't have to watch the video because I remember that.
Yeah.
You're not going to remember all the hard times. And then that's why you'll get a second dog and a third dog, because you'll see where the dog comes to. And then you'll get that second dog and it's going to happen to us.
Yeah.
And we're going to forget how hard it was. We'll be like, with another dog also in the picture that we have to like also keep occupied.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's for another episode, why you shouldn't get two dogs at the same time.
Yes. But it is. It's just getting through this and seeking help. Like that's what most of the questions are in a lot of these training Facebook groups, puppy Facebook groups. They are the same questions over and over again.
Yeah. It's like, I'm feeling so frustrated and so angry.
And some people just need that reassurance.
Just like, okay, like you have problems. We all have gone through these problems. Yeah. We've been there, we've done it. That's why we're in this group, why we're in this community. Like, let's help each other, right?
And some people will give you tips. And some people will say, oh man, my dog was way worse. And that will make you feel better. But then, okay, Maple's not that bad.
But it's also about like not comparing yourself because we all have different dogs. Different dogs learn in different ways and different timelines. And we can't look at one dog and be like, my dog is better at this, but not so good at that.
Some dog breeds are prone to bark more. So you can't compare that to our dog that's not prone to bark.
Mm.
Our dog is annoying as crap with whining.
Yeah.
You can't compare that to a dog that's just quiet all the time.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's just something that's, when you pick a dog, whether it's from a rescue, whether it's from a breeder, know what to expect.
Yes.
You know?
It's like setting those expectations. Like in my mind, it's actually better to have expectations very low. Like imagine the worst possible scenario that can happen, that you're going to have the worst dog that you can imagine.
I don't know. What were our expectations? I don't remember. I think a little bit better.
I was just so nervous and excited at the same time because it was our first dog and I wanted to be prepared, which is why we have read a couple books and, you know, we started reading up on the breed and things like that.
And YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Which is what you do. You don't go see a trainer before you have a dog. You just learn what you can. There's amazing resources out there.
I feel like no matter how much preparation and research you do, you're still not going to have that real experience until you bring that puppy home.
Well, it's like, you know, resources like listening to this podcast is a learning resource. But our experience is going to be different than yours. The guests we have on, their experience is going to be different than your experience. Yeah. But it's like understanding there's such a variety of dogs out there, temperaments, owners, and just be the best dog parent you can be.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, I guess, important to highlight that puppy blues don't just happen to puppies.
Yeah.
It can also happen to a dog that you just rescued.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that adjustment in your life that happens, right? It's the time when you both get to know each other and you're trying to figure out what's the routine, where do we all stand, and
where does the dog fit in your life? What are the boundaries? You know, those kind of things. And you won't know until you
do it.
Do it. Yeah, exactly. Couldn't think of the word. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, seek help if you need to. And be proactive, have patience and understanding towards your dog.
Yeah, and just go through it.
And go through it and don't focus on the negative things. Focus on how you can actually fix these things.
Yeah, that's so true. And then you'll have the most perfect dog you can ever have wanted. But you can't for free. It involves time.
And don't give up, right?
Yeah. Please don't give up. I think that's what we see posts too, and they're like, oh, I've had this dog for 6 months and I can't handle, they're just not fitting my lifestyle. Like, I'm going to have to give
it
away.
And it's like, give it away and things like that.
You shouldn't have got a dog in the first place if that's your attitude towards things. But, oh well.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. Everyone's different.
Everyone's different. And sometimes there's an issue with kids and... Yeah. You know, things happen, right? So it's understandable that sometimes people will have that need to return the dog. But I feel like
happens more with rescues, not as much with puppies.
Yeah. From like behavior standpoint, where your dog's just not behaving in a way that you really want it to, like, don't just give up already. Yeah. Like, do seek that help.
Yeah. It takes months.
Right? And then, just... be patient and proactive and keep doing it until you physically can't anymore. Yep. And you're like, right, okay, this is like my ultimate last resort.
Yep. That's so true. That's true. So I think that wraps up this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of talks about the puppy blues, kind of what causes them. We didn't go into depth of like how to solve these problems. I think each of them is their own kind of training resource. And again, there's tons of information out there. We're talking about joining communities. We have an awesome community for you to join called the Woofy Squad. It is linked below, or you can just search it on Facebook that you can join and ask questions, whether we can help, or some of the guests we've had on are in the group too. So whether it's trainers and vets, they can give you feedback.
Please join. You can ask questions there if you like, if you're really struggling with your puppy.
Yep.
We can reassure you that it's normal behavior and it's nothing to worry about. Yep. It just needs a little bit of work, which is not impossible. It's definitely doable.
That's it. If you know someone that's about to get a puppy, share this episode with them, because this is something that, I wish we knew, to be honest, this much before. Yeah, definitely share that with anyone that you know who has a puppy and is going through puppy blues or is going to get one, just so they know what to expect. Same with the puppy proofing your home, that episode as well. Kind of goes well with this one. So don't forget to subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. Follow us and rate it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, iHeartRadio. I don't know. We're everywhere. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening to this, we're watching this.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, just because that really helps us to spread the word. And that's it for this episode.
Make puppy blues normal again.
Yeah.
Puppy blues are normal.
That's it for this episode. So thanks for everyone for watching or listening. And we'll see you in the next one.
See ya. Bye for now.